Breezy,
Moe's Nose,
Peachy,
Fear the Dawn.
It's about that time, everybody turn your TVs on. The Moe's Nose, Peachy, Breezy, and Fear the Dawn. They keep it nitty gritty when they bring you nine to talk. We two gorilla silverback, nah, silver
hawks. You know it's busting the discussion cause we get it in. Every time, you know, we grindin', I was 8 to 10. We always play to win, the faithful going hard. It's Wayne, Breezy, Peachy, Moe's Nose, and Fear the God. Let's get it.
Nitty gritty, it's the line is tall. Don't like it, better take a walk. Nitty gritty, it's the line is tall. We outline players up in chalk. Nitty gritty, it's the line is tall. Don't like it, better take a walk. Nitty gritty, this the line is tall. Line is tall. Nitty gritty, this the line is tall.
It's about that time. Everybody turn your TVs on. What's going on, everybody? The Nitty Gritty Niners Talk crew is in the building right now. I got my boy, the one and only Moe's Nose. What's going on, family? What's going on? Wait. I just peeped the drip. Hold on. Because when I say you got a cord to donate, that's how you do it. If you look at the medallion, it is the same font color as the logo on the fitted. You dig? The 5950. Moe's, that's fresh to death, dressed like a million bucks. What's going on, fam? My bad. I had to let you know that you look good.
I appreciate it, man. Listen, I can't call it, man. It was a good day. It's a good day walking around the city of Philadelphia with all my Niners gear on. You've been privy to some of the issues that we had going on at the job.
Yeah.
So we still kind of in the midst of that. So I walk into my office with 7 people in my office, 6 of them being Eagle fans.
Uh-huh.
Walked in, Niners hat, Niners jacket, Niners hoodie. Ooh. And I had the big light up chain. Shout out to Miss Deb. As soon as I walked in, I plugged in the joint, let it shine bright on them. I hit them with it crazy.
Blame.
So yeah, man, it was a good day walking around the city of Philadelphia with all my gear on again, man.
Some
fans still salty. Mm. Other fans walking around with a little bit of humility, saying, you know, good win. Y'all outplayed us. Y'all whooped on us pretty bad. So
shout out to those
great
fans.
Victory Monday.
Yeah, shout out to those fans. You know what I'm saying? Like we got a, you know, there's a Philly fan that tunes in to the channel, to the show. His name is Filthy. He came in. He even apologized. And I was like, dog, you ain't got to apologize. You ain't do nothing dirty but support your team. You know what I'm saying? Say your team is going to do this. But I thought that was stand up, like, the best, like, a great way to show humility. You know what I'm saying? And here's the thing. Like, I think Moe's, we got to start promoting that, you know, what the 49ers are going to do to the rest of the teams on the schedule is strictly business, yo. I don't know who pissed them off, but somebody, you got to stop poking the bear. You got to stop poking the bear. AKA, you got to stop running the mouth. AKA, you got to stop. If you don't, you're going to awake the sleeping giant. And I think the 49ers are, it's going to be tough to stop them, Moe's. You was there, and you saw the game in living color. You saw a struggle, and you saw pure dominance, like, at the same time. It was almost like, huh? And so, like, Moe's, man, like, as we talk about this Victory Monday, shout out to all the Breezy Bunch members out there. There's too many of y'all right now. We got to do an hour show. I promise we'll get to it. We're going to get to the winner on Facebook after Moe's give us his quick take. But Moe's, man, give me your quick take on the struggle and the dominance.
I think when we talk about the struggle at first, it seems to me that, at least in the beginning, part of his opening script, it looked like Kyle was trying to do stuff that the Eagles haven't seen. To start with 3 passes, knowing that he's a heavy run style offense. We have Christian McCaffrey. We have Trent Williams. We run the football. We run the football well. I felt like in the beginning he started the game trying to do something that the Eagles didn't think we would do. Try to show them something different that was outside of our norm. And it wasn't working. It didn't click. But our defense showed up. Our defense, although the Eagles had two long drives, only kept them to 6 points. And I feel like part of Kyle's philosophy and part of the culture that he's building with this team is that if the defense shows up and does their job, eventually the offense will get on track. Eventually we'll figure it out. We'll find a way. And I got to give Kyle kudos because when he saw that thinking outside of the box and giving them something that they may not have seen before or doing it in a different order wasn't working, he said, okay, forget it. Let's just mano y mano start punching them in the mouth. And it wasn't big punches. There were some explosives in there, but they came after jabs. We're going to work the jab. We're going to work the jab and then hit them and then go back to working the jab, back to working the jab and then hit them. And once we got in the end zone, once we made it 7-6, it was at that point where the defense is like, okay, what we're doing is good. Let's tighten it up a bit because now our offense is in a rhythm. And all we got to do is get them the ball back. And if we continue to give them the ball, they're going to continue to extend this lead, which is going to make it easier for us to play defense. So I'm so happy with how this team stepped up to the challenge, even in the face of adversity after that first quarter.
Bro, that was dope. That was dope. I couldn't have said it any better. I don't know if the Niners even like using the word adversity, but they certainly, they certainly was challenged, and they did everything that you said. You know, the three straight pass plays. Let me go through the plays because I want to make sure that we're highly accurate. How can I say this? I'm not upset with Kyle Shanahan and the play calling. I just thought if the first play didn't work, go back to the norm quick. Go back to trying to run the ball. And, you know, they just didn't do it. You get the first incomplete pass, and then it was the sack, and then it was another incomplete pass. So, like, the three straight pass plays had me confused. But Kyle, you know, I was talking to Mike earlier, Mose. Kyle was trying to go for the juggler at the beginning of the game. Like, you could tell that Kyle was going to, if these work, maybe it was a test. If these work, it's about to be a rid-app. And then when you go to the second series of the game and you get the first run play and it's the wide receiver run with Deebo Samuel for the loss, and then you go back to straight two pass plays because now it's second and 14 and then it's an incomplete pass, then it's a third and 14. Like, now I'm like, dang. But again, not understanding it then because it wasn't making sense. But in the big picture, after we saw what would happen, Kyle's trying to stretch the field a little bit, trying to move the ball laterally, see how the defense was going to react. He saw that the defense teed off. And then when you get to the third drive, the good old drive of the third that the Niners had the ball on offense, Kyle tried to run up the middle. They stuffed it. Then you get a penalty. -5 yards. So it goes from 1st and 10, 2nd and 10, 2nd and 15. Brock started reading the defense a little bit, got the ball to George Kittle. You get a big play. Then you get another play for a first down. And then you rush the ball up the middle again. And then you pass for 13 yards. Now you rush for 11 yards. And then you get the explosive on the same drive. And Mose, do you know how that drive ended, that third drive, Mose? It ended, Mose, on a 2-yard pass to Brandon Ayuk that every Eagle fan couldn't see straight. They need Zenny glasses. That's what they need. They need some glasses. I will support them with the Zinnies because for some reason they kept saying it, he didn't catch the ball. He didn't have it. He didn't have control of the ball. I'm like, dude, the ball is tucked. The ground can't cause the ball to move as long as he contains control of the ball. And he rolls over and the ball is stuck in his arms. How is that not a touchdown? But you couldn't tell Eagle fans that. And it was so fun to watch that. But Mo's, at that moment, that's when I looked at our brother Nick and I said, bro, this game is a wrap. Because they just went down there and punched him in the mouth. You know what I'm saying?
Now, at what point did an Eagle fan tell you to shut the F up?
Huh. It had to be after a play. It wasn't even a touchdown. So it had to be in the third quarter. And it was just after a big play. And okay, I'm like,
So I got told to shut the F up by an Eagles
not
fan.
Not shut the F up.
You know, with the F, the hard F too.
Yeah,
like capital F, capital C, you know the rest. I got told that after the Brandon Ayuk touchdown.
Okay, so yours was early.
Mine was early.
Okay.
I got told that after the Brandon Ayuk touchdown for that very same fact. But I had a bunch of Eagles fans around me arguing that it wasn't a catch. Now, because we understand how it goes in Philly, I was talking to the two people next to me.
Okay.
That is Mr. Austin Hinchy.
Yes, sir.
And that was our sister, Crystal.
Crystal
PGB.
Yep.
And I'm talking to Peachy, and I'm like, they just don't understand that as long as his hands are underneath the football, and he maintains control.
That's what it was. That's the rule.
It's a touchdown.
That's the rule.
It's a completed catch.
That's the rule.
And I said, They'll understand in a few seconds when the referee says it's a touchdown and they see Moody lining up for a kick. And that's when a salty Eagles fan at that moment told me to shut the F up. We proceeded to have words. But, like, it was clear at that moment because and what's funny is the Philadelphia Eagles have something that they like to call a frosty freeze-out.
Mm-hmm.
And a frosty freeze-out, for those of you who may not have ever been to Lincoln Financial Field or to an Eagles game, a frosty freeze-out is when the Eagles defense stops the opposing team from scoring a touchdown in the first quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happened, when the quarter ended 6-0, they were all excited about being able to go to Wendy's today.
I got
to
you.
To get their free Frosty.
I got you.
And that preceded them to say, oh, we're getting free Frosties. Brock Purdy sucks. He's not a real quarterback. They couldn't even score points in the first quarter. Oh, this is a wrap. But then our defense proceeds to force them to punt. And we go 85 yards down the field. Brandon Ayuk scores a touchdown. It was at that moment where you said the game was a wrap. But I also felt like that because the Eagles fans felt like they were punched in the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
For them to have two drives, make it into the red zone, and only settle for three both drives, and we struggle the first quarter, not being able to find a rhythm. Because at one point, Peachy said, as we were walking out, she was like, you got to remember, at the end of the first quarter, the comparison in yard, we were at like -6.
-6.
They were at like 120.
Yeah.
But we go down and get that touchdown through all of that adversity.
85.
Whether the team likes to use that word or not. And now we're up 7-6.
Mm-hmm.
And they're mad.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Because they know that wasn't the last 7 that they was going to see us get.
Mm-mm. Here's the thing. I remember now. I was a little drugged up because I'm under the weather. And so I was really trying to be to myself, even though Nick was with us. You know, he was keeping the energy flowing. My energy was low. So I'm saying to myself, a fan had said something about, you know, this team sucks. Like, we shouldn't be losing to this team. And so I said to the fan, because we were always, it was never a negative exchange of words. They were talking back and forth. Honestly, the section that I was in, the row in front of me, the row behind me, they were good, cool Eagle fans. Three rows in front of me, three rows behind me, they was a little bit different because they sitting further back or further away. So they feel comfortable.
Yeah.
What's the word? What's the phrase you use, Mrs. Mose? What's the phrase he used? A choice of word. What did you say, Mose, earlier? So proceeded to have words, right? So they felt comfortable proceeding in the word exchange. I'll say it like that because they were further away.
Yeah.
And so what happened, it was I said, how can you say that an 8-3 team sucks? That makes zero sense. It made zero sense. Now, I get that y'all want to win, but you can't say that they suck. That made sense. It didn't make sense. And so he turned around. He didn't say nothing. The older dude of three rows was like, shut that, man. Shut that beep up. I got to go take some classes, Mose. I got to go take anger management classes. But the trigger word was F up. Like, it's not even shut up. You could have said shut up, and I'm like, nah, you could shut up. And then the dude next to me was like, oh, if he tells you shut the F up, tell him to go, you know, beep, 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 suck your beep, right? No, I don't talk like that. That's not how I talk. So I proceeded to go down to that row, and I was like, excuse me, sir, what did you say? So his son pushes me. I pushed the son all the way into him. And then that's when Nick kind of grabbed me. And then all of a sudden, it was about to go down. Then you got the Eagle fans on the other side talking trash. And he going to be like, yo, I'm like, yo, if I told you to shut the F up, how would you feel? He was like, oh, now you're going to curse at me? I'll come over there and punch you in the face. How you going to tell me you're going to come? Why don't you just do it? There's a railing here. What the dude didn't know is I would have took his head and bashed it into the rail, and then I would have been in jail. Like, that's how I'm thinking. 10 steps ahead of you. So my head was always on the swivel. And all I said was, how can we suck? We're whipping that tail. How can? And I don't even think it was the blowout yet. I think we were up by maybe it was 15 at that time.
It was the 28-13
score. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Which they still had opportunities, you know? But I'm just like Eagle fans. They talked. And this is why the show is called that the 49ers humbled the team as well as their fans, most of them. Because simply, like, the 49ers went into hostile territory. That frosty freeze that you were talking about earlier in the game, the Eagles thought the fans was like, oh, this game's a wrap. We forced them on three and out, two drives in a row, just like you said. And I'm like, just wait until the – all I kept saying was nothing was making sense. I couldn't compute what was going on. Didn't make sense. No runs, Chris McCaffrey. And then you get to that third drive. Kyle gets back to his script, like you said, and everything changed. And from there, the Eagle fans changed. They had no choice but to change. Like – and after that, it was a wrap. Even when they sung the Fry Eagles Fry song or Cry Eagles Cry or whatever the name of the song is, like, they were like, here come the song after a touchdown. But they knew the game was over.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's talk about these 49ers, Mose. Before we do that, let's shout out our brother Niner Cali Boy. 12-month member. What's good, fellas? Y'all think the physical play from our DBs is coming from Hawk, who was glue Wilkes the entire game. It's a good question. Can I disagree with him?
Okay, let's do this.
Okay,
you take the disagree. I'll take the agree.
You want to go first?
No, you go first.
All right. So the only reason why I'm going to disagree with this is because the type of players that the Niners have were press man guys. Mooney Ward. They drafted Ambry Thomas. He was a big press man guy coming out of Michigan. I always thought that they were physical guys. Diamandour Lenore was a scrappy dude. I always thought they were physical. I felt like they weren't allowed to play physical. They played a lot of off coverage, even in this game, soft coverage. But the physicality was, you could tell, like, they ramping up toward the playoff push because the physicality is changing a little bit. So in my mind, I think they always mentally played that way. I think that's a big part of why Ambry Thomas was struggling. And I think it's a big reason why Kyle Shanahan told John Lynch to go get Wilkes. I like Ambry. I like Lenore. I know what Mooney Ward is, but we got a young secondary. We've seen what he can do with young secondaries. He can shape and make and mold them. So I think the physicality was there all the time. I think they played too mental, and that caused them to make so many mistakes. Mose, what's your take?
I'll agree with it because I love what you said, but I think the addition of somebody like the Hawk, the addition of Deshaun Golson, is, I think that is what's allowing them to tap into it more. So if the physicality wasn't there at all, I think even with the injection of him, you can't make somebody do or play a way that's not already in their game.
Mm.
So I think Steve Wilkes is the conceptualist, right? He's the one that has the scheme and puts the pieces where they need to be. But once they've played in his system now long enough to where they're no longer thinking about what they have to do, everything is reactionary because they know the scheme, they know the system, and they know each other, right? Then, and play caller on the defensive side and Fred Warner, who gets everybody where they needs to be. And not giving up too much, but watching them in practice, bro, like being able to see that up close and personal. And like when I was on the East End, the offense was on the East End and the defense was on the West End. Before I even walked down, watched the defense, you could hear Fred Warner from the other side of the field yelling out play calls, getting guys in the right. And it was just a walkthrough. This wasn't padded, full go practice. This was a walkthrough. And you could hear him on the other side of the field, right? So going back to that, Deshaun Golson just allowed them to tap into it. And I'm sure we'll talk about it later. But that hit from Diamador Lenore, that was like the exclamation point at the end of the game. That's something Golson would have done. That's reminiscent of him.
But not to push back. And it is, because that's why I can't push back. That is a reminiscent of what we used to see from the Hawk. But Diamador Lenore hasn't had those opportunities. That was a dumb play call from them. And they thought that they were going to get yak yards off of that play. Because all Swift got to do is make one guy. They didn't even see Diamador Lenore in the play. And that, to me, the hit was like boom bip with a brother named Tip. And we ready to flip. Like, the hit was crazy. I mean, you heard the pop. Like, nobody was paying attention. It was snap, crackle, and pop. And then everybody was like, oh, my God, what happened? Because the game was over.
I'm glad I was paying attention because that was crazy.
No, I seen it, but you weren't thinking that was going to happen because you like the way he was playing defense. That defense comes from the space that was created from the zone that he was put in by Steve Wilkes.
Yeah,
Steve Wilkes is turning into a genius of a defensive coordinator. Even you got to say that he has progressed. I don't know if it's because he came down to the sideline. I think that's bullcrap. But if that's what people want to believe, fine. I ain't going to argue with you. I just think that the players are executing a lot better. That hit was hawkish, though. That junk was hawkish. I'm not going to stunt. The hit was hawkish. We got Super Chat contributions from Jax. You know what, Moes? We going 14-3. I feel good about it. My team looks good. If she don't start putting our team looks good, I'm going to erase these Super Chat contributions.
Yeah, like
she owned the team or something like that.
It's only her team.
It's only her team. Like, she don't – I don't – like, my team look good. I didn't know you was Jed Jack York. All right, here we go. 14-3, Moes, is her statement. How can we not go 14-3 at this point?
By taking somebody on our schedule lightly.
Ooh, Moes, I put a poll question in there, dog. I got to know. Go ahead. I'm listening. Here, I'm sorry. I got excited.
That's why we here, bro.
I'm like, sorry. I got excited.
And I will say that I do think the likelihood of that is low because of what we experienced earlier in the season. I don't think we took the Browns lightly, but I do think we took the Vikings lightly.
100%.
So the Browns game was a tough game, a muck it up game, a grimy game, a game we still should have won. However, we didn't. I think the next game we was like, we should have won it. We didn't. It was a missed field goal, but we're going to rally behind Moody. We're just going to get back on the field, and we're just going to do what we're going to do. Oh, it's the Vikings. They don't have Justin Jefferson. All this talk about Kirk Cousins to the Niners. This will be a piece of cake, and it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And then now we're in a two-game slump. We got to see the Bengals, who haven't been playing good, but Joe Burrow's healthy. So I think the stint earlier in the season has us in the mindset now to not take anyone lightly. But a lot of things can happen. You know what I'm saying?
Agreed.
We do play the Cardinals again. We do play the Seahawks again, who we just beat. Mm-hmm. We play the Commanders. There are some under 500 teams, let's say, that are on our schedule. So I think that's the only way is if we take a team lightly and we don't show up like we did this week.
Yeah, the remaining of the schedule isn't a cakewalk, but if the Niners continue to stay healthy, especially at the right positions, and continue to go out there with the mindset of it's win or go home, it's going to be tough to be a team with this mindset. Crystal Peachy B in the building, ladies and gentlemen. What's going on, C? It's going to be really tough to beat this type of team. We won a game trailing. Oh, shoot. Right? It was only at the end of the first quarter, but we won. I'm still scratching my head. I don't understand how a team with negative 6 yards finished the game with over 400. I don't get it. That's tough. Hold on. Give me a second, guys. Just give me a second, please. Love y'all. Give me a second. A team. Wait a minute. Hold on. The San Francisco 49ers got 450 yards in three quarters. Is everybody listening? They got 6 touchdowns in three quarters, 456 yards in three quarters? Man, if they could get the first quarter back, bro, and just get you some yards, maybe a field goal, maybe something, like, how does that make y'all feel? Like a team had negative, Peachy, you just got in here, negative 6 yards. They finished the game with 456 yards in three quarters. That's 45 minutes.
Yeah. They did. When we first started like piling on, it was so crazy because I'm going to be honest, you know, I thought that we were going to get like killed because that's what it looked like at first. It looked like that nobody had a clue as to what the hell was going on, what they wanted to do. I mean, those offense, like even the defense, like at the very beginning, the only thing was that me and Mose were talking about it, and we said, see, this is where they messed up, because both times that they went down, they had to settle for field goals. And Mose told me, he said, it's going to be all right because of those field goals. That's where they messed up at. And we even had Eagles fans that were sitting around us that said the same thing. They're like, this just don't feel right with us settling for these field goals like this. Like, you know, we need to get in the end zone. And then when they just poured it on, it was so crazy because you looked at the stats and all of a sudden everything just flipped. And Philly wasn't able to do anything, and you just saw the stats for the 49ers just keep going up and up and up until it completely flipped, and then that was it. Because, I mean, starting out with -6 yards and then just to get to that was just amazing.
-6.
It really was.
456. Just like let that sink in. Yep. And they made mistakes. 5 penalties, 47 yards. Yep. Chrissy Marie says she was nervous. I want to get y'all take on that. Were you nervous or were you confused? Don't pick one. Don't be both. Were you more nervous or were you confused? I'll go first. Okay. I was confused. Peachy, nervous or confused?
I was nervous.
Mose, nervous or confused?
Confused.
Mm-hmm. And it's nothing wrong. They're both right. They're like I don't want people to think you can't be nervous. You can't be confused. You can't be surprised. You can't be whatever. Mm-hmm. In the chat, were you nervous? Were you confused? The reason why I was confused is because whatever I was watching, the math wasn't mathing. Mose, why were you confused?
So offensively, we talked about the three straight pass plays, not getting CMC involved, trying to do something that maybe the Eagles haven't seen or wasn't our norm. Defensively, you know, it started to make sense later on in the game because we knew it would get to a point where they couldn't continue to do this all game. But I think early on, the soft coverage and playing the boundary allowed for a lot of those quick slants. Mm-hmm. And we have to give respect to the Eagles wide receivers because Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown can take a quick 3, 4, 5 yard slant and turn it into a 12, 15, 18 yard gain. Yep. And on those first two drives, that thankfully led to field goals because our red zone defense turned it up. It was a lot of the quick slants for big yardage. So I was just a little bit confused by that. But as you see throughout the game, you know, the offense took what the defense gave. And so instead of us playing to eliminate that inside work with those quick slants, which would leave the boundary open for them to take a deep shot, they said, okay, let's keep everything in front of us. Let's not allow them to try to take the deep shot so that we have a situation like the NFC Championship game where they don't catch it and we don't challenge it, or we get into a situation where we get in a pass interference and we're giving them 40 yards, 30 yards free. So I think it was a bend, don't break. So that was just confusing a little bit, allowing those quick plays, but it all worked out in the grand scheme of what Wilkes and the defense were trying to do.
I agree, and I wasn't even confused. That's not what confused me about the defense. That's the defense. That's Steve Wilkes' defense. So I wasn't even confused with that. We just played two really good inline wide receivers that could take a slant and just go to the house, but the way that they were playing defense was to prevent them from going to the house. And Peachy, one of your biggest things is wrap and breaking tackle. And there was missed tackles. You had two guys collide into one another.
Yes.
Like it was bad news bear football.
Yes.
Early. And I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. You know, like Jair Brown had a big missed tackle. Like, you know what I mean? And so I wasn't confused.
Third and 19.
That we ain't even gonna talk about that. We're gonna scrap that play, act like it didn't happen.
We can't.
No, that's not what we do. Not on Nitty Gritty. Okay, I thought this was the Wayne Breezy show. My fault.
No, it's a Nitty Gritty.
I ain't there yet. I ain't there yet. I wasn't confused. Here's what confused me about the defense. Can somebody tell me why the hell Isaiah Oliver was playing safety? That ain't it. It ain't never gonna be it, and that shouldn't ever be it. I ain't got nothing against my guy. You know I like him. I tell you where he need to be. You can put him in the big nickel spot. You can put him in a spot where they're going to try to run some type of wide receiver, reverse. That's where he belong, in the box. Why is he playing deep?
Okay, here's why I'll say he was playing deep. I think it was more of the fact that he's been here longer. And I heard you talk about it before. Why not put Eric Harris in that situation? Because he's a more natural safety. That makes 1,000% sense. I will not disagree with you there. But Eric Harris doesn't know the scheme of our defense. Isaiah Oliver at least has played enough snaps in meaningful regular season games. Although it hasn't been
good. Sorry, I got to cut my eyes off.
Although it hasn't been good.
Hold on, keep going. Don't you ever.
He's. He took himself off. Although it hasn't been good.
Yeah.
He's played meaningful snaps and he knows the defense. Yeah. And I will also add this. I think Isaiah Oliver is better with things in front of him than he is at corner with his back to the quarterback. Yeah. So if you're going to put him in any situation in relief, I'd rather it be back there where he could see what's in front of him and react than to put him on the outside against A.J. Brown or against Devontae Smith and have him get torched.
If he was, I can't even imagine if he was on A.J. I don't even want to think about that. I do want to say this one thing, though. I know Breezy said that you can't be both, but let me tell you, though, something.
I just said for that exercise, you definitely could have been both. I'm sorry.
Because I don't even know if confused is the right word. I didn't recognize what was going on out there at all. Like,
it, you was confused as mother.
I told Mo's, I said, this is not our team. Like, where's our team? Like, what is going on here? Like, on offense, when we, man, that was, I don't know. I was scared. I'm not even going to lie. I was like, oh, my Lord, I see this going so bad. We done came all this way. Then went through all this stuff, all this drama before we even got in the game and all this stuff going on. And this is what we, like, what? And Moses is like, just let's wait. Let's keep watching. He said, something's not right. It's going to get better. They're going to straighten it out. Because he was, like, most seriously, like, saved my mental state. Because I was about ready to just sit down and just start crying. Because it looked so bad at the very beginning.
If I ever get the chance to interview Kyle Shanahan, I got to ask him this one question. What was your favorite movie? And I think I know what it is. It was Friday. That's why he's infatuated with his boy Debo. But when I tell you that Kyle Shanahan be playing with our emotions, Kyle Shanahan is Smokey, y'all. He's Smokey. He looked like Smokey. He's Smokey.
Very tall Smokey.
Listen, when I tell you he plays with our emotions, yo, but I got to give him credit, like y'all said earlier, because he flipped back to the script real quick. Mm-hmm. Like, he realized his defense was locked in, and he was like, okay, let me stop playing. Because if he hadn't did that, and he kept trying all these wrinkle-dinkle plays, like, you know, y'all, Peachy, you notorious, you be like, yo, Kyle, you got to try something we ain't seen before. He did it. He did it. Yeah. And that's why your ass was confused. Ain't none of us noticed none of that. I'm like, what? What? It didn't make sense. It didn't make sense, but when I tell you that the 49ers figured out a way to put up 42 points on a top defense in the NFL, man, we this is why we're here to have these conversations, because you got a banging offense that just overcame a banging defense. Mm-hmm. And I do know one thing I was trying to promote. I was saying, like, you know, if the 49ers are the best defense in the league and the offense got to practice against that defense, what makes y'all think that they're not going to take care of somebody else's defense?
They're not going to be right.
Make that make sense. Yeah. Somebody make it make sense to me.
That makes sense. It just, so I watched the shows today. I just want to bring up this one small thing. Speak was hilarious. Like, let me tell you guys, if you have not seen Speak, you need to go back and watch that.
That's our boy Acho
on YouTube. I watched the whole show, but you need to go back and watch the 49er clips, because the majority of it was about Eagles Niners.
Okay.
Because we're the top two teams in the NFL.
That ain't why. So, it was that ain't why. Peachy, before you do this, who are the ghosts on Speak?
Oh, it's Shady McCoy.
Stop right there. Okay, so it was going to be Eagles Niners, and was James there? James Jones on there?
Okay.
So I ain't even see it. I don't got time to watch stuff like Peachy because I'm constantly working, right? Let me tell you something.
I mean, I work too now. Don't get that.
I'm talking about as far as content creating, Peachy. Come on now. So I don't have time to watch that stuff. Here's the thing.
I was just messing with you.
I guarantee you.
Yeah, I get what you mean.
They were shading. Tell everybody. Tell me there's a clip out there I could find that Shady. Tell me Shady tried to defend what happened. Tell me he did. Please.
In all actuality, no. Shady was not the one that was really defending the Eagles. It was more of Joy that was defending the Eagles.
Ooh.
Shady actually impressed me. He said that the 49ers are the best team in the NFL because they just beat the team that was considered the best team in the NFL. He said, and until, you know, that changes and whatever. Because Shady was the one whenever, you know, we went on our losing streak, I will give him this. He did say, you know, because we were missing the players that we're missing and all that stuff. He said it's undecided, what's going to happen because we didn't have them. He said we got to see what happens when they get their whole team back.
I don't care about that. He has been supporting his Eagles won the best. The best. He ain't say nothing. Did he say that the Eagles was going to beat the Niners? Yes.
He said that if the Eagles play them again. That they
Breezy
would.
Talking about before the game when they make their game. Oh yeah,
of course.
He picked the Eagles.
Then rest my. I don't get. Then nothing else he says matters. I want to know how they came at him because all he do is eagle.
But they didn't come at him hard until he was talking about what is gonna happen like down the line if we face each other in the playoffs.
Okay, so Peachy, you sent me this morning. A bunch of stuff. You got that list? Because that's my next. That's what I wanted to get into.
Oh, with the excuses?
Oh, here we go. Ladies and gentlemen.
That's a good one, too.
Before we do that, 49er Jeff, man, thank you for being a member. 12 months. That's a year last time I checked. He got a question while Peachy's getting that. Moz, you could take this question. Did Debo earn his money yet? Props to Wilkes and the D.
Of course he earned his money. Because I thought it was funny. And... whenever you stand on business, like Debo stood on business yesterday, because last year, Debo said, if our quarterback didn't get hurt, I feel like we would have blew them out. And a lot of people think Debo said that being facetious.
Right.
But if you know Debo Samuel, he don't talk a lot.
Mm-mm. At all.
He does his media obligation, but Debo don't talk a lot.
At all.
Look, Debo is not one of them that just be rah-rah out here talking, posting crazy stuff on social media. He don't talk a lot. He do his media obligation and that's it.
He don't even talk a lot during the pressers, bro. It's,
right.
It's 5 seconds.
Right.
I'm like, Debo, you don't got a longer answer than that?
Right. Mm-hmm. So when he said that, I knew he meant it. If we would have had our quarterback, we would have blew them out.
What was I saying when we was walking out that stadium, yo?
Yep.
It's a little different when Brock is playing, right?
It looks a whole lot different
whenever you got have your quarterback out quarters. There than Josh Johnson. I'm just saying. I mean, Josh Johnson was, you know, what he was, whatever. But, man, oh, man, like when Brock went down, like everything changed. And I think that's another reason why the Philly fans were so pissed is because – they probably went back and thought, now, if this cat didn't get hurt, would we even have even made it out of this game?
It's that, too.
Yeah.
Because Stephen A. Smith said that.
Mm-hmm.
Stephen A. Smith, after the beatdown that we put on them yesterday, you have to consider calling into question their NFC championship
That's right.
victory.
Mm-hmm. Sure did.
But also, too, Peachy, what did we hear around us? Oh, this dweeb isn't going to beat us.
Right.
This 12-year-old isn't going to beat us.
The Andrew Brock Purdy.
He's not a real quarterback.
Look at the way he dresses. You see all those guys that are in black. And then he's like, what is that?
They had a picture of him walking into the stadium. Mm-hmm. He had regular clothes on. They're talking about some high school student. There's no way we're losing to this dork.
Right.
So he's a mm-hmm. dork. He's a nerd. Yep. He looks like a 12-year-old. He's not a real quarterback. What?
He's
he
not even in sync with the rest of the team. Because all the guys came in black. And wait a minute.
It shouldn't even be in the NFL.
One of the
That's
greatest.
What their thought process is of him.
One of the greatest staple movies of all times was Revenge of the Nerds.
Leave it awesome. At that. Which is a great movie, by the way.
One of the greatest movies I've ever seen. Yes. You talk about funny. Mm-hmm. And if Brock is that, hey, he handled his business because it was definitely revenge. They capped me all week. You could cap. Yes. This ain't a revenge game. This ain't the mm-hmm. boo. I don't got that claim. Damn.
You gotta have. Yeah. You gotta.
I gotta get it, Mose. We gotta get
it.
Sound bite.
So, one thing that Shady was saying that was funny is he said they showed up and they had that doggone black on. He said there was no smiles, there was no laughing, there was no nothing. He said you could tell, like you could feel in the air that something just wasn't gonna be right about this.
No, he did not use a Beanie Siegel reference
did on there. Yes, he did. He Ooh. Said that on there, and like I said, it was crazy. He said it's just something in the air that didn't feel right. I will say the only thing that Shady stood 10 toes down on was the Greenlaw and the their security guard situation that happened. That was the only thing that he stood 10 toes down with the security guard, whatever. So,
what way did he say?
He said that the security guard was in the right, that he was just defending what he saw in front of him, what was happening, and so what Dre did to Smith.
That there's no security guard is supposed to get involved with the players. The right. referees break up fights.
Exactly.
Right. So Shady McCoy, that's you are dumb. You dumb. That doesn't even make sense. You play football and you didn't have no security guard exactly. defend. That doesn't even make sense. That's not even in the rules of the NFL. The referees go over there and break that up.
People are trying to figure out.
That's why Kyle Shanahan was like level 100. Like straight yeah. up. Like,
and that's
come on,
when
man.
Conservative Kyle like flew away, just like the Eagles, which is what I said earlier. I think I said it in the Wayne Breezy chat, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. I said that's when the conservative Kyle was gone. And then you had Piss Kyle and running like BCS Kyle. Like they wanted to run the score up as much as possible.
There's no way. Like how do you eject this guy for doing this? And it, right. he grazes the face of a,
that's
of,
it.
Of
that's
a person.
That's all he did was graze him.
But the person touched him prior.
I right. wish
who should
you know
who shouldn't have
I wish he
would have
hit
all.
Him. That's what I wish. I wish he would
have
hit him.
Shouldn't have touched him at all. And my thing is, you're head of security.
Yes.
So you know that.
Mm-hmm.
If fans can't come onto the field and interact with the players, if coaches can't come onto the field and interact with the players,
bingo.
And the only way that a referee can physically touch a player
yeah.
is if they're breaking up some
breaking
type
up.
Of scrum
right.
between players. What makes you think that you could take your hands and shove mm-hmm. a player out of the way just because right. you think you're protecting the player? That's why players have on shoulder pads.
Right.
That's why they wear exactly. helmets. They already have the protection that they need. And if anything gets out of the hand, like Breezy said, that's what the referee is for. So you're walking around with this sense of entitlement
mm-hmm.
on the sidelines wanting to touch a player because you didn't like the fact that
yes.
what he suplexed
right.
Devontae Smith and the refs already flew up through a flag.
Through the flag.
Right. The refs for that already action. Had that under control. All it was the same, you know what, the way that I looked at it was the same crap that when we even, like, were doing our tickets, like, when we were getting in there, the drama that we had with the fake security guards out there compared to, you know what I'm saying? It was just something that just kept on going. They were just determined to just harass and to just do whatever they could to the 49ers. Like, they were determined to do that. But my thing was, somebody had said it earlier, like, why does Philly being at home, why do you have all these security guards like on they on was, the sideline they were, anyway.
Yeah. I don't know about the sideline, but I seen them in the stands.
Right. They were
I never seen top flight mother freaking security that deep.
That's crazy.
Too crazy.
It's like you're the ones that are doing all this crazy stuff.
Hold on. Let's get to these super chats.
Okay.
And then we'll talk about the security incident that we had walking into the stadium.
Okay.
Because everybody just feel like, you know, they got to be top flight. You know, like, and it ain't even to that. All right, Papa Phil, man, listen, thank you so much. He says, what do y'all think of McKivitz yesterday and this year versus McGlinchey last year? All right, so let's go with Mose. Yesterday, McKivitz, and then overall, how's he doing this year? And then we'll get Peachy's take.
I think for who we were going up against, and the different types of rushers he had to see. He had to see Josh Sweat. Cool. He had to see Hassan Reddick.
Speed.
He had to see Brandon Graham. They flexed Fletcher Cox outside sometimes. Jalen Carter outside sometimes. So for the different types of rushers that he had to see, for Brock to only be sacked twice for a loss of 4 yards total, I think McKivitz played a very, very decent game. I think he was up for the challenge. I think he did not get bullied. And I think he did what he needed to do to open up lanes for the running backs. Debo's touchdown was to his side. His rushing touchdown was to his side. So I thought McKivitz played a really good game. You know, there's no need to compare him to, you know, McGlinchey or whatever. McGlinchey's gone. He's on another team. I think for this team this year, I think Colton McKivitz has stepped his game up. And I think, you know, I think his physicality, I think his strength, and the fact that McKivitz will not be bullied is a real strength for this offensive line.
PG.
I mean, Mo's pretty much covered that one. Yeah.
So he gave up 3 pressures in this game, 1 sack, 2 hurries.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to look at graded, I mean, wasn't, you know, as far as pass blocking, I'm going to focus on the pass protection. He was the 2nd highest graded offensive lineman. Well, mm-hmm. The 3rd highest, excuse me. It was Trent Williams, Jake Brendel, and Colton McKivitz in pass pro. You know, Trent gave up 2 pressures as well. Mm-hmm. A couple of hurries on his side.
Had a penalty.
No penalty on Trent. There was no penalties.
I thought there was a penalty on 71. I could have sworn there was.
Burford had one.
Yeah.
What?
I don't even see the one. Burford had one, but it got declined or something.
I could have sworn Trent got a penalty.
Unless this thing is wrong. But no, I don't remember Trent. I'm getting the penalty. He does get penalties, but he didn't get one in this game.
71 being called. I can't remember. That's fine.
Okay. But anyway, like, look, the pressures they gave up, the offensive line itself, 11 total pressures. You know what I'm saying?
That's not a lot.
For that pass rush?
That's amazing.
They did a bang up mother loving job. Even like the only sack.
There was one on him. My bad.
Like, the only sack that I thought was given up by McKivitz, like, that the only one, was mm-hmm. the one where they put Fletcher Cox on the outside. And it was just a move. Like, it was just that's a big, powerful dude coming on outside. Yeah. And he just got him.
Absolutely.
Right? He just got him. If that was Fletcher Cox, bump that. I'm talking about, if that was Fletcher Cox on Mike McGlinchey, McGlinchey would have been back in the stands, in the field goal spot where we were sitting. Like, that's how strong Fletcher Cox is. McKivitz gave it up. He got in there. He got under him. Boom. Got the sack. Cool. Boom, 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 bam. Whatever, whatever. Thank you, ma'am. The other sack was given up on Spencer Burford. So the right side did give up the sacks. But Brock Purdy scrambled. And it was just coverage. It was coverage sack. Like it was just time. Time. And Brock got to find a way to get rid of the ball. Yeah. So I think McKivitz, though, he isn't the best in the run blocking game. Mm-hmm. He's better in the pass pro game over Mike McGlinchey. You do lose the run blocking from Mike McGlinchey. So it makes it tougher to run to the right side. So last year it was cool because we were more balanced. You could run to the left, you could run to the right, but you notice when we run to the right, it's a little etchy. Hopefully it picks up though. They get a little bit better. You even heard Chris Forrester talk about it. You know, mm-hmm. they're growing. Like, they're growing. The continuity is there and they're growing, all right? Fish and Chips, thank you so much for the Super Chat contribution. He says, teams have to play two-man full 60. Not possible. Ooh, defensively. Is that what we're talking about? Two-man high? The safety's at the top? It's going to – look, look.
Is he talking about teams have to play that against us?
I'm trying to figure that out. That's what I'm thinking. Possible.
I mean, if they play two man,
we just go underneath.
We don't call ourselves the Yak Bros for no reason.
Like, yo, this was the best Yak game we had all season.
And try to take away the deep shot.
Yep,
we'll just kill you underneath.
And that's my thing, right? Like, when have we talked about Yak this year? We haven't.
Yeah, we really haven't. That's what I'm saying.
It's been explosive plays over 20 yards, blah, 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 blah. And I'm talking passes in the air plus 20 to Brandon Ayuk. He's the explosive play guy. So we haven't even been talking about Yak a lot. Even Kittle's joints, explosive plays. Yeah. They're not catching the underneath. We talked about, do we see screens? Not really. Not this year. Right? Yesterday we did. But my point is, like, Yak was the prop, like, because you could, once them linebackers is caught, them safeties is back, you could take advantage of it. And Debo is different than anybody. Terradome, what's going on, baby? More Yak than an open bar at a wedding. Shout out to people that have open bars and not, you know, what's the close, the where you got to pay for your own drink. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to those that still do the open bar, man. You very well respected. We love you. Go ahead, PG.
No. That's fine. Go ahead.
We got the super chats. If there are any more, I promise I'll get to them as I see them come in. We were just giving some points up on the show. But I want to talk about the excuses from the Eagles fans, from the media. Let me go ahead and create another ticker. Because can I say this before you go, Peachy, and you go on the excuse rant? Mm-hmm. When we walked into the stadium, a lot of stuff happened on the way in. We'll keep it to that, right? And it was more than just words being exchanged. There was some devious stuff that happened to Moles, to myself, to the 49er faithful. And I'll leave it to the point to where fans were spat on. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so, like,
Let me quantify it for the people. Like,
yeah, go ahead. You got it.
Not just like, oh, somebody like spit coming out their mouth as they talking.
No.
Like a dude from his diaphragm.
Like, behind the gate. Yeah.
And like gathered it up in a pool. Like deliberately.
Right.
That's how bad it was.
So it started with the beer thrown at Moe's, and then it just trickled down. As I was going over there trying to protect my bro, because when we go into the game, I'm charged up, and I already knew we had to walk through the tailgate parking lot. This is before you even get there.
Yes.
I saw Moe's, ran back, got in front of Moe's. That's what happened. I got in front of him. I was like, Moe's, we good? We ain't going to break this gate down. They not coming through the gate. We good. I didn't see the bear being thrown at him, but I saw the bear on the ground next to him, so I don't know if he got hit with the bear, but they were throwing eggs from across the street. It was tough. It was rough. But that's not how you fan. Like, that ain't it. Eagle fans, like, look, we coming to watch a game. We did nothing disrespectful. So when they disrespected us, it went to another level. Things happen. I grabbed somebody. It happened. My chains broke. We get carried out. We gone. We move on about our business. Mose was charged up. At that point, if you was a Philadelphia police officer, you was getting bodied. Like, at that point, I knew Mose was gone. We get into the stadium. We get through the parking lot. We get there safely. And then we got to the gate. We get to the gate. The security, let me explain this. I want people to do their job. But there was one security guard that had empathy for us. We were a team. It was six of us, if I'm not mistaken. I probably can't count, but I think it was six of us. Mm-hmm. Vicky, one of our great friends, she didn't make it through. She went off through the security. After what happened to us, I wasn't leaving nobody unattended. I ain't trust nobody but the six that walked into the stadium, or if he was wearing red and gold. The security guard, like, yo, you got to wait over there. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to wait over there because I want to make sure she good going through the thing. She going to be good. Like, you, like, but I'm doing my job. You got to wait over there. So I tell you what, I'm going to wait next to you, and I'm going to keep my eye on her and make sure she good. And then there was the other security guard.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to add a little bit more context. So we get through. Breezy's through. Nick is through. Hench is through. Peachy's through. I'm through. As we're coming through, and we're all through, one of the security guards says out loud,
mm-hmm.
make sure you check them Niner fans.
Mm-hmm.
So as Vicky's coming through and hearing that gentleman say, make sure you check them Eagles fans, and then the guy standing at the gate tells her to go to the side, she's kind of perturbed. And she says, I'm being targeted.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm a very logical person. I think Vicky's a very logical person sometimes. Love you, Vicky.
I bet you she watches today.
We love you, Vicky.
But a logical person could put two and two together,
mm-hmm.
and say, if you're telling him to check Niner fans,
mm-hmm.
and I'm the most recent Niner fan that comes through,
yep.
and you immediately push me to the side, how is that not me being targeted? Because I guarantee you, it wasn't nothing in her bag that would
there was,
like the
there
flag
was
on.
Nothing in there that nothing. They even needed to see.
I went
she
through.
Had a clear bag.
And you know how normally you got to take stuff out of your pocket?
Mm-hmm.
I had my keys. I had two portable chargers for my phone. I had my phone. I didn't take nothing out of my pocket. I walked straight through.
Yep.
So you're picking and choosing who you want to go through this little screening system for.
Mm-hmm.
And when she said that, the little homie who put her to the side, he started feeling some type of way. So as Breezy was talking to another security guard, he felt like it was time to turn up.
Right.
He's telling us Ooh. To move about our business. Ooh. I'm doing my job. But Ooh. You're not doing your job because you over here arguing with me and Breezy when we not even talking to you. Mm-hmm. And it's people walking through your station
not
who you're not even paying attention
right.
to.
Not
even
checked. Getting checked. They're just walking on through.
Not even getting checked.
You're not looking at them and you're not looking at the monitor. You mm-hmm. over here arguing with us, telling us yep. how about how you doing your job when now you're really not doing your job.
Yep.
Always
and
something.
Then somebody else comes over, and then that's when I step in, and I said, he's good. This security guard is good.
Yep.
They just having a conversation. It's two men going back and forth, so it looks heated, but Breezy didn't say anything out of pocket, out of mm-mm. character, didn't say
nah,
anything disrespectful.
That's not what he told. That's not what he told his boss, though.
I know. He told
that's
his
not,
boss.
That's not what he told his boss.
Stuff.
He told him that I came at him sideways
yep.
right.
about such and such, and he was just trying to do his job. I'm like, bro.
That's like, when Breezy said, we heard what you said. Like,
bro,
we heard
you,
what you said.
Like, you doing your job, and I stood right next to you. And
right.
I was going to make sure she was straight.
Mm-hmm.
And, so at the end, and that's all it was.
That's yep. all it was.
That's it.
All it was. But there was the third security who understood. Mm-hmm. What happened was I explained to him what happened. He mm-hmm. told me that ain't his problem.
Right. And that's what he failed to tell him. He said, that's not my problem. And Breezy said, I didn't say it was your
I
problem.
I never said it. I was just explaining
I said,
it to him.
Mm-hmm. I'm protecting the person that
was
came
it.
With me.
That was it. He was trying not to get fired, Ralph. That's what it was. Anyway, the head security guy, not the one that messed with Drake Greenlaw, because I guarantee Greenlaw going to find him and F him up. But not that dude, because Greenlaw got hands. Y'all don't be watching them videos of them boxing?
That's what I'm saying.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Hand. Yep. Dangerous hand. Anyway, I'm not trying to promote violence here on the show. I'm just saying they really were testing us. Like, from the moment we walked down the street, from the moment we got to the stadium, and then in the stadium.
Inside the stadium.
Yo, the devil was working. Like, hard body. I ain't said that since 98. Hard body, yo. Working. Anyway, to make a, like, to just, I brought that stuff up because, like, the fans need to feel some type of security when they go on the road. Yeah. So I don't know what to tell you. I just know Philadelphia isn't a great place to be if you're trying to enjoy your team playing a football game, because they don't look at it as a football game.
Mm-mm.
They look at it as a fight. Yeah. And you have you don't
they
have
look at
that
it as war.
As war. And if you don't, you're not going there for that. So all I'm saying is, if you're not ready to handle or face that type of stuff, you don't got to be a fighter. But it ain't going to be nobody there to help protect you unless you see a bunch of faithful, because they will scrap, literally. Yeah. But them security guards, I ain't trust none of them.
Right.
Nope.
You?
Nope.
So it's definitely an unsafe place to be. Luckily, the third quarter, all the motherfuckers left.
That's right. Third quarter, they was dipping.
They hit the road, Jack.
My wife, as she said, how was it leaving the stadium?
Mm-hmm.
I said, oh, leaving the stadium was a piece of cake, because them motherfuckers was gone with 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter. They left.
Yo, that parking lot in the stadium was cleared out.
Empty.
Yeah.
Empty.
We walked through a clear parking lot.
Empty.
Empty.
Even empty. The ones that remained to watch the whole game, like, they weren't, like, combative or nothing. They were like, oh, you know, well, we got Dallas next week. We need to go ahead and handle Dallas. We got to move on past this game. We'll see you guys in the NFC Championship and all this stuff. That was all they said, like, after the game. It was calm. It was peaceful. It was, yeah, it definitely was. So these excuses, though, are hilarious. These excuses are a combination of what I heard, what I've seen in the media, and what has been on Twitter. So these are coming from the Philly fans as of this morning. Okay. This game didn't matter.
That we started hearing it. Like, that's what you started hearing.
Yep. The 49ers just won their Super Bowl.
Okay.
Like, make that make sense.
No one actually cared. Oh, well, okay. So the 49ers just won their Super Bowl, because when I was telling somebody something, they didn't have a question. So what that means is when a team tells you that they just won their Super Bowl, that means that's the only thing that the 49ers are going to accomplish. Big is this game that we're not going to the Super Bowl this year, that this was our Super Bowl. No one actually cared, which is why the defense barely played. There's this thing about this Philly defense that has been everywhere, that they didn't care enough about this game to prepare to have their defense prepared. And that's why they didn't care. That's why they were lackluster yesterday. Alicia. That's why our offense was able to do all the stuff that we did to them, because they weren't playing hard. They weren't, you know, all this other stuff or whatever. That's
hold
one
up.
Excuses.
Because
Jalen Carter was crying because he didn't care.
Hold up. Because in that first quarter, I ain't hear nothing about them not playing hard.
That's right. Exactly. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Here's what I got to say after you finish your excuse.
Bye, Felicia.
Next.
We knew this was going to happen. We expected
this.
I heard that a lot.
Hold on.
Here's
the one I heard. I knew we was going to lose, just not that bad.
No. I haven't got there yet. Hold on. Here we go. We Bo's thought
jumping
it
in
would
on your
be
segment,
worse.
Peachy Bo's want to shine. He's shining your segment. Go ahead.
We thought that it would be actually worse.
Bye, Felicia.
We played with a lot of injuries. We had a lot of players who shouldn't have even have been out there on the field.
Bye, Felicia.
And the two biggest ones that I heard, we have played three games in less days than the 49ers. That's the one Bob that I want Breezy to touch on, because this is the one where his pet peeve was like, what?
First of all, every NFL team played three games, you know, in 15 days, 16 days.
The 49ers played three games within 14 days. That's Philly my point. Played three games within 13.
It was one
the
day.
The way that it was structured of the Hold games on. Might have been different, but nah. The 49ers also had to go on the road and play Seattle, come back home, then they had to go to Philly. So Philly has been home. If I'm not mistaken, their last two games, weren't they in Philly?
No, the first one was
not.
No. The last
one was in Philly because it rained there.
But the last two
one that
was
they
it.
Had two games.
Yeah.
Because yeah. So my whole thing is that
did you just do that?
This whining is like, so you guys had 14 days, like we had 14 days versus 13 days, and I realized that was like a huge deal. So, but anyway. Then what me and Breezy heard, like all the way till we got out of the thing, is we're still number one.
They can have that one.
Bye, Felicia.
They can have that one. Because the numbers say that. There's stat that says that they're still right. In first place.
Because they're 10-2.
They can have
That's why.
But they just got beat by the better team. So y'all can have the record. But all right. I know is if the 49ers got a look what y'all stupid asses just did to the confidence of the San Francisco 49ers.
Right.
They walked into Philly. Hey, where's my boy at? Where's Corey at? They
I'm glad he was the other person that seated.
No, I seen it too. You asked her where the balloons came from, and she looked at you like she didn't know what the hell you was talking about. But balloons popped up on Peachy's screen. She must have her messages open. And when you send a message, the balloons pop up. If it's
what
like
balloons, it must be a congratulations for the win. Okay, my bad. You know how you have the congrats and then it brings up stuff?
Yeah,
my bad.
Gotcha.
So I literally thought that it was on StreamYard. I'm not even kidding. And then I thought about it whenever you said that, Breezy. I was like, oh, somebody's congratulating me for the win.
So Corey says, you know, do we want to see them again for real? Abso-freaking-lutely. Because all they kept saying to me, the only thing that stuck out to me was this game didn't count.
Right.
We beat y'all when it mattered.
That's right.
Same thing that the Rams said. Oh, y'all could sweep us through the regular season, but y'all lost to us when the game mattered.
Yeah,
I'll put this on everything. I don't see the Niners losing to another NFC West team this year or next year or the year after that. I just don't see it. Not with Brock Purdy at the quarterback spot. And if Brock Purdy got to go back into San Francisco and the team is still healthy and intact and they even gelling even more, oh, man, y'all thought 42 points was something? I bet you Kyle come back with them same first three pass plays. That shit going to work at some point. The narcissisticism in Kyle Shanahan is going to be there.
It's going to work.
But he's confident in his defense to where if it doesn't work, my defense only going to give up three.
Yep. Yeah.
And even they might get better at recognizing how they try to utilize those wide receivers. It's on tape now. It's on film.
And then if we want to like keep a 100 like we do on Nitty Gritty, 19, that score, like it shouldn't even have been 19. Because one of those touchdowns was given to them. I shouldn't even have that.
It started with
it
the green law.
It should actually be less than that. Because
with the green law joint. They had all the yards given, and then was Tush Push City.
Exactly.
It was easy for them. We got a couple of Super Chat contributions. Okay. Let's get to these real quickly. Quick. Big Daddy Niners, he got back-to-back joints. He says Trent did have a penalty in the fourth quarter. It's not showing on the stat sheet, so that means that it didn't count or something.
I thought that he all I remember is them mentioning 71. That's why I didn't know.
So what was the
but
penalty?
It's possible that it didn't count. Yeah. Maybe it was offset. Maybe, something like that.
5 minutes and 30 seconds left in the fourth, first and 10.
Mm-hmm.
Penalty on San Fran, Trent Williams, false start.
So, okay, so then it counted. It's not showing up on
right,
the stat
got
sheet.
You. Yeah.
So that explains why his grade was low.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yep.
Big Daddy Niners gave another super check. But you didn't say anything in this one, so we love to know what yeah. you said. So he did have the penalty. I didn't see it in the stat sheet, which is yeah. weird. But the Niners did have 5 penalties for 47 yards.
Yes.
The Eagles had 7 for 47 yards. Yeah. You know
so
what I mean?
So it was one thing about the game is just what you said right there. It wasn't like a high penalized game. Like they pretty much let the players play.
They did.
So that's one thing that can't be an excuse. And that's one thing that I didn't hear. I didn't hear that because they know how even that crap was. Saying you can't, you know, so you can't say that. You can't say, oh, you know, they penalized us so much. You can't say that. Anyway, those excuses crack me up. I think the one that irritated me the most was the one about the days because, I mean, it's an average of like 15 days basically for any NFL team. So the whining about the 13 days was just crazy. Said the 49ers had 10 days to prepare for Philly. I got news for you, Philly. The 49ers have probably been gradually preparing for this game the whole time. So that didn't matter. That wasn't. Philly, to me, they didn't look like that they weren't. And even Shady said that it's not like Philly was out there making a bunch of stupid mistakes. They just ran across the better team. And that's what happened. And that's all it was.
I just don't like him.
They had a
he says dumb stuff and it makes zero
yeah,
sense.
Yeah,
and
it they've does.
Been and Acho been trying to tell him mm-hmm. the whole time James yeah. Jones that the team is the better. And then like look, and he's a great dude, but dude, you're watching. It's one thing you can't be a fan and you're do your job like you like do the like you. I know you watching,
mm-hmm.
and I know you see this team. And yeah. I know you see them being dominant, yeah. and I know you see them like when the Niners got to play a team that it where it means something. Don't they show up and show out? They put 40 up on Dallas. They put 40 up on the Eagles.
That's what I'm saying.
The Niners are 3-0 against the NFC East. Somebody make that make sense because that's what the Niners is doing. And I know they yeah. still got Washington left. I know it's at the end of the season. I understand that. But I guarantee you they're going to look to put up another 40 points coming into the East Coast. They're going to look to do it again. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be easy, but they're going to look to do it again.
Yeah.
The key to the Niners mm-hmm. is getting into a rhythm.
Yeah.
The reason why I was confused is because what they were doing didn't look rhythm. It didn't have the rhythm.
Yeah.
It was, we're going to try this. And if the Niners want to continue to be successful, they got to establish the rhythm and establish it early. I don't want to say luckily, but luckily they were able to capitalize off of what their defense was bringing and mm-hmm. find a way to get the ball back to where they established yeah. the rhythm on that third drive. Mm-hmm. That's what made that's what makes the Niners dominant. You yeah. run the ball, you throw the ball.
Mm-hmm. So to me, one thing that I was afraid of is there was one pass that Brock threw like at the very beginning of that game, and like Reddick was coming for like he was literally coming for him, and it literally just flashed in my head like, oh my God, please do not let this happen again. Because when they kept doing that, I was like, this is so dangerous. This is so absolutely dangerous because they were headhunting. Like they were literally trying to do that while we were going through that slump at the very beginning. They were trying to get at him as hard as they possibly could. That's why I was so terrified, like at the beginning of that game, because of what we were doing. Because I'm like, Kyle, you got to stop this, man. You got to stop.
I thought everything worked in the 49ers' favor. The refs worked in their favor. You got to give credit to the Niners because they were just the more disciplined team.
Absolutely.
The penalties they inflicted, mm-hmm. I mean, like, you're going to get the personal. I mean, that was crazy, but it is what it is. Dre Greenlaw will be back. We'll see if he gets fined, and that's how you'll know if it was warranted or not if he gets the fine. All right. Like, that's how we know. But look, we got the Seahawks up next.
Yep.
Before we get out of here, let's get to the poll question. Here is the winner, all right, of the score prediction on Facebook. Shout out to Miss Debbie out there. My man Tony Bartley. Nice. Congratulations. You are the winner of the score prediction. You have the closest score prediction to
good
it.
Job,
all right. So congrats to you, family. Make sure you check up. Hit up Miss Debbie if you can. Also, let's get to this poll question. Are you guys, before we jump off out of here, are you guys concerned with the two injuries? All right, Eric Armstead, Ross Dwelly has a high ankle sprain. He's going to be out for, you know, a few weeks. And what did they say about Eric Armstead with the foot and knee injury?
They are researching it more. That's honestly what they said. They're trying to figure out, like, it's mysterious. Like, there's something, they're just trying to do more research on it.
Do you,
what they're basically saying, so.
Because Armstead, these two players didn't return to the game. So, do you see Mose Armstead being out for a foreseeable amount of time for the Niners? Like, you know, until the play, like, what do you think?
If they're researching it, I think that's what they're trying to make the determination. They're trying to see
right
how bad it is, what his, you know, tolerance level is for pain, and, you know, what is a safe amount of time for healing for him to come back. I think they bought themselves a lot of time with the rotation that they have on the defensive line. We got to see Kalia Davis play some meaningful snaps.
He got his first sack, y'all. He got his first sack.
That was great.
Javon Kinlaw.
Got a sack.
He's been healthy all season.
Two sacks.
He had two sacks yesterday. So we still have Givens and Javon Hargrave. And then, you know, we mix and match. So we might see a little bit more of, you know, that NASCAR package we talked about where we see maybe Randy Gregory on the inside. Maybe Cleveland Farrell on the inside. So I think we have enough pieces, you know, to buy Eric a little bit of time. So, I mean, you know, we'll wait to see. They'll discover what's going on, come up with a timetable that works both for him and the team. And hopefully it's not too long. But however long it is, I just hope it's enough time to get him healthy back to 100%. So, you know, that defensive line can be as strong as possibly can going into the playoffs.
There it is. Yeah. Yes, Randy Gregory did play. 49er Jeff, he had, I think, three or four pressures in the game. The 49ers was getting it in pressure-wise. Let's see if I can pull that up real quick on the defensive side. You got the pass, rush. All right, the Niners have 46 total pressures in this game. They were pressuring him, but, man, their offensive line was blocking. It seemed like Jalen Hurts had forever and a day to get that ball out of his hand.
So, our defense got 46 pressures on Jalen Hurts?
46 pressures.
And they tell us that the Eagles' offensive line is better than ours and possibly the best in the league. But our 46? Offensive line only gave up 11 pressures?
It's because, Mose, the majority of the pressures were forcing him to hurry and step outside the pocket. Mm-hmm. I mean, they finished with three sacks and six hits. You watched the game. How many sacks we missed? Randy Gregory had a sack right in his hand, and he just missed. So, like, I get where you're going theoretically-wise. The Niners had the better offensive line against a furious pass rush. But I think that, you know, Jalen Hurts, I mean, there was every time he dropped back was like 8 seconds. You got to give credit to the 49ers secondary for even keeping the coverage down. There was nowhere for him to go, and he didn't even take off and run because the Niners held a mobile quarterback. And the run rushing offense, the number seven rushing offense in the NFL, they held him to 46 yards. Like, yo, this defense came to play.
Yes,
they contained.
They
and if I may be honest, if you remember on the show, I said, don't worry about the sacks in this game. Why? Why did I say that? Because if you over-pursue, he will take off and run.
Yep.
Yep.
And they made sure he stayed in a box. They didn't over pursue. They still provided the pressures. The sack numbers were low, but let that be a quarterback. Let that be Geno Smith. And I guarantee you, they're going to defend Kyler Little Murray behind the same way.
The same way. Yep, okay. Exactly.
And so there you go, man. Guys, listen, thank y'all for tuning into the show. We truly appreciate it. The poll question was simply, which remaining divisional game worries you the most? All right? You got the Rams. They ran hot. They like hot right now. Like the Rams. You got the Rams. You got the Seahawks, who's still in second place. I don't know the standings. The Rams might crept up. And then you got the Cardinals with Kyler Murray being back. And so I wanted to know, he's that mobile quarterback. Who do you feel like it worries you the most, Peachy, than Mose? And then I'll read the results and we'll get up out of here. I mean, none of the above as well. That was another one of the choices.
Right, which is where I actually voted none of the above, because I'm not afraid of any of them. Yeah. It's not with the mentality that this team has right now. This 49ers team mentally feels like they can just like go in and just beat the crap out of everybody that they play, because they now, it's like you can just tell that it's just different, and mentally they're like, let's just, you know, just one game at a time. Let's go out there and just deal with this one. They take on everybody. I really feel like that right now. I really do. So I put none.
Most.
To give an answer, to give a team, I'm going to say Seattle.
Ooh.
And the only reason why I'm going to say Seattle is because we beat them on Thanksgiving. We ate the turducken on their field.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had an emotionally charged game in the game we just played against the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
So is our emotional reserve tank spent? Did we get too high playing this Eagles team? Because like you said, they can say all they want that it wasn't a revenge game. But this was get back. This was
facts.
We need to prove to y'all that when we have all of our pieces,
right,
y'all not even close to us.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be the only reason why I say Seattle, because they're next on the schedule. If we played Seattle 2 weeks from now or 3 weeks from now, I would go with none of the above. But because they're the immediate game after that, we just saw them 2 weeks ago, and coming off an emotionally charged game against the Eagles that we wanted really, really badly, do we come into this game on the down, like coming down off of that emotional high? So
gotcha.
That would be the only reason. But like you said earlier, the mentality of this team right now and what they're playing for and why they're playing for and who they're doing it for the guy next to them. I find it hard to see that happening.
I love the answers from both of you. 49er Jeff says division games are tough. They are. They're tough as nails. They can go either way. Obviously, you guys know that by now. For me, it's weird, right? Because I'm looking at the list. I like to see the Seahawks. The Rams are currently in second place, too, by the way. So I don't know if you guys knew that, but the Rams bumped up. They got a tie record, but they're in second place. I know we play the Rams at the end of the season. I just feel like because it's at the end of the season.
Right.
And the Niners, not saying that they'd be lackadaisical. They can't rest players. The Niners can't rest anybody if they're trying to push for that number one seed. The Niners got to win out. You get a divisional game against Sean McVay. And I know Kyle owns Sean McVay. But it's the last. Like, why can't this be earlier? Like, you know what I mean? Listen, it's the Rams for me. They struggled against the Rams early in the season without Cooper Kupp, with the emergence, like first game with Kyren Williams.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're going to get a full throttle Kyren out of the backfield, which I think he'll be more dangerous as far as pass catching. And then you get Cooper Kupp back, and then Puka Nacua killed us, right? We still beat him, But for some reason, that game is going to be the one that I would worry about. Peachy, I'm with you. The mentality of this 49ers team is different. And if they keep that same mentality, they go 6-0 in the division. But I'm not scared. I said worry. It's a big difference. Scared and worried. Right. It's a little, different to me. Mm-hmm. I would worry about that game to where it prevents the Niners from winning the number one seed. Stupid me, right?
Right. I like it.
Let's end the show with the Super Chat contribution from our cousin Sid Mose. Great show, fam. Love y'all. We love you too, bro. Thanks for tuning in. Guys, thanks for tuning in. Nitty Gritty Monday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Fair will be back soon, man. Once his team wins this championship, he'll be good to go, man. We rooting for you, Fair. Shout out to everybody. Guys, we love y'all. Stay tuned. We'll be back. Stay up. Stay faithful. We out here, man.
Nitty Gritty, it's the line is tall. Don't like it, better take a walk. Nitty Gritty, it's the line is tall. We outline players up and show. Nitty Gritty, it's the line is tall. Don't like it, better take a walk. Nitty gritty, this the line is tall. Line is tall. Nitty gritty, this the line is tall.